I was told by a Yankee graduate student that there was this real hick kind of Southern guy who had a real strong Southern accent, was probably a racist, to avoid his courses. Because this was 1970. People were real concerned about civil rights, and I had this kind of stereotype of people from the South. I experienced the same thing. I used to have much more of a Southern accent. People just assumed I was a racist. And about 6 months later, this student had actually had Rachel's for a course and said he was ashamed that he had said that, that he was completely mistaken, that Rachel's had actually participated in sit-ins, and that he was, quote, a wise and gentle man, that I should take his course.
In 1975, Dr. Rachels published an article in the New England Journal of Medicine, Active and Passive Euthanasia, that caused quite a stir. Up until then, euthanasia was generally condemned. Terminally ill people were rarely refusing medical treatment. And he challenged that and even took it a step further.
The article was significant for a couple of reasons. One is that it's the first article by a moral philosopher ever in a peer-refereed medical journal of that caliber. Secondly, it was an example of using the kind of logic that he was very good at on a practical issue to push people in a progressive way. Basically, his point was, if the doctor and the patient both intend death and the result is death, then how can there be a difference whether you do it actively or passively to the morality of it? And then secondly, he said, it's often the case that if you just let nature take its course, the patient suffers a lot. What's the point of that? But I think a lot of people worry about, you know, especially with end-stage cancer or AIDS, the pain and indignity of letting nature take its course. And it's very messy. And in certain times it is more humane, as he put it, to be active. And it gives the patient more control. There's one other element that's kind of characteristic of Jim Rachel's philosophy here. I know from talking to many doctors, there's a feeling that even the person is on the last vestiges of his life and is going to die anyway, still there's a feeling if the doctor does something, the doctor has the irrational feeling that he killed the patient. I had this feeling of my own father who died, and I made a decision not to put a feeding tube in, and he died an hour later. And I had this feeling that I had killed my father, even though I know it's crazy. And it's the power of Rachel's argument is that he's always been saying, no, that's not rational. The disease killed the patient. He would have died anyway. You may have actually, you know, been better by easing him out fast.
Hmm. Now, Dr. Rachel's work also helped start what's being called an applied ethics movement in philosophy, taking on some pretty controversial subjects, abortion, animal rights, suicide. Really, he was a man ahead of his times?
If you go back to the early 1970s in New York City, there was a pretty special group of people who all coalesced around NYU at the time. There was Peter Singer, who was visiting for a year, the very famous animal rights philosopher now at Princeton, the famous controversial bioethicist there. Derek Parfit was visiting from Oxford, very famous guy, and Jim Rachels. They formed a group called the Society for Philosophy and Public Affairs and started writing, changed the whole focus of ethics from very technical stuff and meta-ethics, which had dominated the field for the decade before, to applied ethics. And they started talking about things like the Vietnam War, abortion, euthanasia.
Two different images come to mind. You know, I'm thinking philosopher, reflective, measured, and then I'm thinking activist, taking on these really tough issues, animal rights and cloning, someone who's assertive, aggressive, maybe even perhaps tunnel visioned. Where did Dr. Rachels fall in that spectrum?
He was not an activist like Peter Singer. He was an activist in a philosophical way through his works. He actually shunned the public spotlight. He didn't like to go on TV or radio. He was pushing the outer edge of the envelope so far. He personally, he didn't like controversy. He didn't like confrontation. He was just the opposite of that.
James Rachels broke new ground in the work of euthanasia, and he spent the last months of his life dealing with cancer. How was he dealing with it?
He was a very brave and courageous person. He never complained to this unjust fate. He loved philosophy, and he was doing philosophy up until the last day of his life. He was working on a book about to come out, an introduction to philosophy that will be a great book, like his book in ethics. It was actually a consolation to him to be able to keep his mind active and, you know, like Socrates, philosophy is supposedly a preparation for death, and It came 25 years early, though, for him.